right, welcome to an episode of Game Changer Podcast. I'm David Villa here with Diana Villa. This is our third and final podcast on marriage. The last two have been on it, but we're going to do something a little different. This may be 10 minutes, maybe 12 minutes, maybe 8 minutes. We're going to go through just a lightning round. I'm going to kind of be a little more casual here and just read some things, 15 ways to celebrate, things we've learned to celebrate each other. So try picking one or two of these to put into practice. And so we're going to just read these. These might be humorous because there might be one of you, just like there's one of us, that this would lend to more, like the first one you're looking at and you're smirking already. The first one, serve your spouse by preparing their favorite meal. I mean, if I'm going to do that for Diana, let me just say this, it's going to be takeout. You know, it's going to be taken to a restaurant, meaning I can't cook, or nor do you like my food I cook. I mean, we had a bad experience with that. So that would probably be you. But that's a great way to celebrate your husband, right?
If I'm mad at you, I will have to really ask the Lord not to spit in it. Ask the Lord to help me not spit in it.
Yes.
Because I've actually contemplated that before, if I'm honest. I've been so mad, I think. If I could just spit in this, I've thought it. I'm sorry, but I have. And as far as preparing a meal, yes, David prepared a meal for me one time. I was about 6 to 7 months pregnant with our first daughter, and I took out stuff to make spaghetti. So the whole way home from work that day, I was thinking about spaghetti, and I wanted spaghetti. And I opened the door, and
the good husband that I was, I started cooking.
He did, and I smelled the spaghetti, and I was like, oh yes, spaghetti. And then I took the first bite, and he literally sauteed jalapenos in it. And as soon as it hit, yes.
Mike, I was experimenting. I got
he put jalapenos in it. And the moment it hit my lips, I'm sorry, everybody, my butt was burning like instantaneously. And the problem was it was very late at that time. I think it was like 9 o'clock that night. I was traveling for work sometimes at that point, and everything was closed and nothing but spaghetti was going to do.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So that is not a good
example.
Don't
do that.
So serve your spouse by preparing their favorite meal. Here's another one. Number two, become their personal assistant for a day. That's the one you were laughing at. You would. So she's okay. Knowing her now, do the frame on both of us here, Mike. So knowing her now I was looking over when I was reading this, I thought for sure she was thinking about number one. She was thinking already about number two. And you're going to say, hold on.
You already make say, me that.
She was going to say, I'm already his personal assistant every day.
I was going to say, I technically have kind of been assistant to
I can't hear you.
I would love to. They can't hear me or you can't hear me?
I can't. I mean, I don't know if they can or not.
They will.
Okay. A webisode.
I would do it well. David would do it begrudgingly.
I was your assistant once when you got surgery. You had surgery. I was your assistant for a while. All right.
Okay.
Number three, ask them to hire you as their personal masseuse or massage therapist. We had experience with that early on in our marriage. I didn't think of us, you know, guys.
David's massage is 2 minutes. He expects an hour and gives 2 minutes. So, no, that's not a good one either. But someone out there, maybe.
Can I get a witness, gentlemen? Can I get a witness? Hey. All right. Compliment your spouse often. I compliment you.
You do.
All the time.
There's one.
You compliment
do.
Me.
Very little.
Never.
Not
and
never.
I'm an affirmations guy.
Not never.
I mean, rarely. Right?
Maybe.
Rarely?
I'm but sorry. David is, you do that. There you
I
go.
Do, but you don't care, really. Because you're not a word of affirmation person. But I compliment. So compliment, that's a great way to celebrate each other. So we were having fun with these, but these are really good ways. Compliment your spouse often, right? Number five, figure out a way to make them feel special every week. What do you think? You do stuff like that. I mean, you know, you've done stuff over the course of our marriage where, you know, you used to write little notes, put in my lunchbox or something like that. You know, we do this for each other, and we'd both do it now, but we'll, like, we had these mouthwash. Diana bought these little, like, glass containers for, like, soap and mouthwash. They make it look like they're, like, handmade, and but, you know, you dump the soap in, the liquid soap, you dump the mouthwash in, the shampoo, and there are all these, like, little jars that are labeled, like, handmade shampoo, handmade, because you put them in by hand. So we get our Listerine mouthwash, funnel, and dump them in. And then so we do that for one another.
Yes, we do.
And fill those up for each other. Me probably more so than you.
No.
Probably like equal.
No.
Equal.
Matter of fact, mine probably still had some in it, and you went and grabbed my bottle, put it on your side, and left me yours. That's what I would think.
Okay, so equal. So okay, so figure out a way to make them feel special every week. That's one way. Little notes,
yep.
Things like that. You know, I'll say something. You're really good at this. I'll say something about just in passing, you know, like, oh, I'm out of those protein bars or whatever. Oh, man, those protein bars are good. I ate my last one. And, you know, you remember, and then 3 or 4 days later, like, I'll get an Instacart order delivered to me. And so, you know, you're thinking about it. So that's you do that. You do a good job. I try. All right. Number six, write a letter. Tell your spouse what you love about them. Then allow your spouse to tell you what they love about you. That might be difficult for us.
Yes, I think so.
But we should try it. All right. How about this one? Number seven, make their special day a big deal. You don't like that. I do. So you don't like surprise birthday parties and big to-do things about
you. I don't like
being
the center of attention.
Right. You'd rather me make your day a big deal by doing something special with you, for
yes.
you, just you. Me, I want, like, you better throw me a party. Matter of fact, well, last time, though, my 50th anniversary of my birthday, I paid for everybody to go to Hawaii.
I thought it was a good gift.
But it was a good gift, right? Because I she's just like, oh, we're going to go to Hawaii for your birthday. Oh, really? Yeah, you're paying for it. And all right, cool.
It was the thought that counted.
It was the thought.
100%.
Yeah. How about this one? You read the next one.
Write a personalized letter thanking them for the things they do on a regular basis that you may have never acknowledged.
That's a good one. I think the key about that is not the writing it a personal letter. I think the thing that's more important about that, it could even be a text message. It could even be an email. It could even, you know, but it's the thing about it is it's needs to be written so they can read it away from you, I think. But thanking them for the things they do that you may have never acknowledged. So I think the part about that is, I think it would show somebody, at least I'm thinking about getting or receiving this, it would make me feel like that she recognized it, even though I didn't think she did or she didn't say anything originally. I think that's the thing that gets it, not necessarily the writing it, things like that. Because some people don't really care about that. Some people would rather get a text message or whatever. So
I think a personalized letter says a little bit more than a text message personally.
Yeah.
Because I think text messages, we shoot them out so easily. I don't mean you and I, but just in general, I think mm-hmm. it's culture. I get really excited when I get, I mean, it sounds silly, but if I get something in the mail, it's like, ooh, what yeah. is that? And who sent that to me? I can't wait to kind of open it.
Yeah.
And I hate when it's
junk.
It's not something that I thought it was. So, you know, I think mail, there's still something to that. Maybe okay. the next generation doesn't feel that way, but I do think it's a little bit more personalized.
Shower them with acts of affection. Give them a real kiss, a strong hug, or a pat on the bottom, a gentle caress. I do that to you. I'm like, I'll pull you in my lap, or like I'll pat your butt or something like that. You like that, right? No, I mean, like, you,
I mean, I don't know what
the
to
acts
say
of affection
that.
The acts of affection,
I know. Yes.
All right.
I'm not very good at that. I feel like I don't know why. I think I've done a really good job like showing those types of things with my children because just the way I was raised, even though I have great parents and I know they loved me, I question that sometimes because they weren't really affectionate or emotional. So I did something different with our kids and my granddaughter. But I think that that's harder for me because it really wasn't exampled. So that's hard for me.
Yeah.
That's a vulnerability and it makes me
I think
uncomfortable.
It's hard for a lot of us.
Yeah. It makes me uncomfortable like doing that openly. I don't know why. It just does. And I wish I was better about it. Mm-hmm. And maybe the Lord will help me. Maybe that's why it's coming up now. But that's a difficult one for me.
Okay.
Particular.
Here's a fun one. Create a fun scavenger hunt that leads them to you. There's creativity in that. There's time. There's thought that's put into that. And of course, then, you know, if your spouse loves you and you love them, and obviously you guys are two of one another's favorite individuals, then that leads to you. And I think that's a fun way to get creative and to show them that you care. Number 11, appreciate them in public.
It's still very. That's I talked about that. Just
I do that to hard. You.
You do.
Which means I like that. You don't care really about that, but I like that. So you know, because
I feel
too.
Like that's for me personally. I feel like it doesn't matter what you do. Not you. It's not about you. It's what we do behind when no one's looking mm-hmm. that matters.
So what's interesting is the first one here is appreciate them in public. I like that. You don't care about that. I do that to you. You don't really do that naturally to me, but I like that. So it's like speaking each other's language. It goes back to the five love languages by Gary Chapman that I'm thinking about here. The next one is cherish them in private. You like that. You prefer that. I don't really care to receive that. So you do that to me. I don't do that as much. And so there's that not speaking one another's language. That's how that works. So if you think about it like, well, he doesn't cherish me in private. Well, you don't cherish him in public. Like in other words, you know, we have to learn each other's language, and that's a challenge. I mean, it's a challenge. This is, you know, how, if you want to really think about it as an actual language. How hard would it be if you spoke, you know, Spanish and I spoke English, or you spoke French and I spoke Spanish, or you spoke German and I spoke Italian? You know, we would speak a language that the other person did not understand. We have to communicate. We have to learn that language. And that's a very difficult thing to do. And if you're not committed to it, if you think about it, you know, if you go somewhere and you see somebody once a month or once every quite a couple times a month in maybe a service you get performed or, you know, something, and somebody has there's a language barrier, then you don't take the time to learn that. So there's never that intimacy. There's never that closeness or that relationship because that language barrier prevents that, you know? So, so think about that, and you're married to that person. So that's a very, very, good thing to do. Go read number 13.
Honor them in front of your children.
That's a tough one. We've done that, and we've also
not done that. Yeah.
That's important, though, because your kids, it helps, I think, develop the right perception of marriage for your kids and the way to honor their spouse and the way they should expect to be honored and treated.
And I think honor in both types of situations, the easy times and the challenging times. You and I have talked about this before, but unfortunately, sometimes your kids are there when you have a disagreement, but making sure that you're doing it in a way that honors God and honors your spouse so that they understand how to disagree appropriately versus never showing them. You know, I always go back to something as trivial as Ashton when she first got married. She's a couple months in, and I was talking to her one day. I was like, hey, what about this? And she just was like, how did you make everything look so easy? I think a lot of times we do not want our children to see the hard times, or you're trying to shelter them with the right mindset, right? You're just trying to cover them. But I think them seeing that actually helps them understand how to do it for themselves later on.
It's good. All right. Send flowers to their job or hide their favorite candy somewhere on their desk. That's really good. And there's a surprise element to that. They, you know, they find it and see it and, you know, creates like a smile and a good feeling, right? Shows you care. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. You see my fingers at the bottom of the screen. Sorry, guys.
No candy?
No. Next.
Okay. Send a sext message that lets them know you're thinking of them. Send it during a time when they will most likely blush and least expect it.
Please don't do that. When I least expect it, most likely I'll be in mixed Please company. Do that. I won't know how to react.
Please do that. Please don't do that. Please do that. So that's preference, right? But if your partner likes that, then knock it out, right? So good things. Let's pray. Why don't you lead us in this prayer here, and we'll just pray for these. These are just kind of a lightning round of 15 things that we can do to shake things up. You know, listen, God expects us to put work in for our marriages, and it's important that we are there for our spouses. So if some of these things make you uncomfortable, it's time that we get uncomfortable for our spouses, and that's because there's something on this list that's going to make every person, regardless of what side of the relationship you're on, uncomfortable, so... All right, why don't you go ahead and pray for us.
Father, we thank you for the gift of marriage.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you that you are the author of it, God, that you created it and you designed it. Help us to celebrate our spouses more intentionally moving forward, Father God, that we may have fallen short in a lot of different areas, but God, we thank you that you're a God that when it's brought to our attention, God, that you will lead us and you will guide us, God, to a new way of doing things. And so, Father, I just ask that you help of us, each of us, focus on what is not focus on what is going wrong, but that we would put more focus on the things that are right. May our love deepen more and more as the years go by, and may we trust you to keep us focused on each other, in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. So welcome. I hope you guys enjoyed that little bonus episode. We had a little extra on the marriage notes, and we wanted to bring that to you guys. So if you enjoyed it, share it with someone. Make sure you follow us on YouTube, subscribe, click the notification bell, and download our Game Changer app, Game Changer by IPD Agency. Stay in touch and aware of everything that's going on. Get all the notifications of everything that we're doing. Also follow us on social media. If you do, make sure you tag us, and we will see you next week on another episode of Game Changer Podcast, Lord willing.